Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Lulu Simon. Sue Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and over there's Ben Mandelker. He creates the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island over on YouTube, so go watch it. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's up?
Nothing. I'm so excited to talk about this episode of New York Saga.
So good. I was cracking up through, like, I would say 95% of it.
Yeah, it was one of their finest, for sure. Everybody, we are still doing our live shows. Come see them. Next week, we're going to be in Phoenix and Portland. Portland on Friday, Phoenix on Saturday. Come see us. In Portland, we're going to be doing Real Housewives of New York. And then in Phoenix, we're going to be doing Summer House. We're also almost sold out in Minneapolis and Pittsburgh. So go get your tickets there. And we've got lots of other shows coming up. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find ticket links. That's also where you'll find links to get your Goodbye, Kyle t-shirts. Those will only be on sale a couple months. Also on Patreon is where you'll find all our ringers. We just put a whole bunch of new ringtones up there. And it's where you find out how to join our Google Hangouts, which we're doing tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific time, which is like a video chat party. It's all sorts of stuff. So go over to Patreon. WatchWhatCrappens.com, Patreon/WatchWhatCrappens. But you can find all our links at WatchWhatCrappens.com.
Yeah. How about that? Well stated, Rondell.
Don't you think?
Yeah. that was the original version of Alanis' song. It's a little well stated, don't you think?
Don't you
think? Little too well stated. Yeah, I really do think.
Nothing was better stated than the very last line of this episode. They were showing previews of next week when they go to Dorinda's house for Halloween, and there's like a creepy witch mannequin curled up in a ball in the corner, like eating her own arm off, and Ramona says, "Oh my god, looks like Bethany crying."
That was hilarious.
Fucking show,
I was cracking up so much, so funny, just cracking up just on the strength of the crazy things these ladies say. So good, so fun.
Yeah, it really was. See, you don't need a big huge fight where everybody's like free for all, and yet you can have just break Dorinda down slowly, very slowly.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, maybe casually Hector Tinsley for an episode about, like, her wilting ovaries,
and just send Ramona on a date with anybody. Okay. Yeah, this show is how you please do it.
Yeah, they got it right. So the episode opens up at the paper magazine party where Sonia's being feted. This is like we had a cliffhanger last week, which was Luann walking over to Dorinda and Dorinda going, "Hey." So now we pick up where that left off. Hey. It's a very like
she sounds Barton like when you line. When you hit snooze and then the alarm goes off again. It's like
that sounds a little bit more like a car trying to get out of like a snowy ditch.
I'm sorry, I have to ask you something.
Please.
What were you saying? So this party is where Sonia is being extremely feted?
Okay, I didn't mean fetid like F-E-T-I-D.
I looked it up and I was like, that's rude. That says smelling extremely unpleasant. I mean, I'm used to having to Google shit ever since you found that goddamn crossword puzzle game that you play every day.
But... also not crossword, yes.
Well, what are you saying?
She was being fetid, like F-E-F-E-T-E, like it's like a fet, like she's being celebrated. Oh. I thought you can't you use fetid like a fet-ed like a verb? I believe you can.
Yeah, fet-ed. Honor or entertain someone lavishly. She was an instant celebrity, fetid by the media. Well, there you go, everybody.
Wow, I love the story of that example, you know? Wouldn't it be great to string along all the dictionary examples together and see if it tells a narrative? Like, quietly, Merriam-Webster has been telling a tale through the examples and we didn't even realize.
A tale of Sonia.
She became an instant celebrity, was fetid by the media.
She was an instant celebrity, fetid by the media. She made out with a random lesbian and woke up fetid.
Wait, does fetid actually have a definition too? Because I would like to see how they fetid is.
Fetid
the
is
fetid sm- water of the marsh. You know, both of them.
She took off her underwear and smelled like the fetid water of the marsh.
She was fetid at the party while her water was fetid like the marsh. Wow. People are learning a lot of words and a lot of context for those words.
I'm sorry. I'm speaking for the dumb people in the audience. You don't know what you're saying. Okay? We need a voice, too. And our voice is saying, huh?
Can we work feta cheese into this now? Is this like a third layer that we can do or no?
Do it. Let's see. Feta cheese.
Feta. I don't think feta cheese will actually have an example in the dictionary, though, unfortunately.
How do you know these things? Have you read the dictionary? Who are you?
No, well, of course, why would there's no need to contextualize feta cheese.
Of course you do. She smelled fetid in a marsh, and then she came out and had a lovely snack of feta cheese.
And was immediately fetid by the media in her instant celebrity. It's a white, salty Greek cheese made from the milk of ewes or goats.
Then she adopted a dog, and she fed it. Then she tried to kill it with a shot at the vet.
And then she took the carcass and mailed it across the country in one day using Federal Express.
Okay.
Dorinda tells it. Dorinda narrates the dictionary.
All right. So, yeah. So, where we ended last week was Dorinda freaking out because she had to talk to Luann at this party. And Bethany's like, go, talk to her. Talk to her. Talk to her. What the hell's wrong with you? Just talk to her. Talk to her. Talk to her. And so she was getting really scared. And finally, Luann just wanders down this weird hallway in her hat, in her straw fedora that she's wearing.
Yeah, and it's sort of funny because later in the episode, Barbara wears like a black fedora. It was very much like this black and white thing. It was giving me like Twin Peaks season 3 vibes. Like there was like a black lodge and a white lodge situation happening with the fedoras, you know? One came from Bob, the other came from Laura Palmer, and like there's chaos in between. Mm-hmm.
So Luann's just looking around like she's...
You're like, okay, yeah, going on, moving on.
I didn't watch that show. that show was not fetid in my household, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Some people thought bored. It was pretty fetid on its own.
I tried watching the new Twin Peaks and I was bored, okay? I found it to be fetid.
So Luann comes walking over to Dorinda and Dorinda's like, hey, you know, you look great. You look fantastic. She's like, oh, thanks. I'm just going to stare at Bethany right now and ignore that your stupid face is in front of me. Thanks.
Tell it to the hat rim, Dorinda. So she goes, Luann is so, she's been so consistent in how she hates people. Mm-hmm. And this is how she talks to everybody she hates. She goes, how are you?
Yeah, the burdened niceties. That's what she does.
Yeah, she's said that every season for like what 11 seasons now. How are you? And Dorinda like, great. And then you know, she even double kisses John, which is, you know, got to be stressful. It's like, well, hello, I'll be calling you again one day soon after parole. You know what I'm saying?
What is parole anyway? Yeah, she, you got to maintain those dry cleaning discounts, you know? Like, she may have a beef with Dorinda, but she wants those discounts, you know?
Yeah.
So Dorinda's like, hey, Luann, I like the hat. And she's like, oh, well, oh, Bethany, I'll address this to you. Well, I had a bad hair day, and, you know, I moved into a new apartment, and I finally hired an assistant, so I was like, where's the hair dryer? And he said, we don't have one. And I said, what do you mean we don't have one? So long story short, it's a hat day.
God, long story long, you murdered some gay person for not having a hair dryer.
Luann was actually going into this confrontation the way I would, which is like panting from nervousness and then like including way too many details on a very simple answer, you know, like, hey, I like the hat. Well, I'm having a bad hair day. You can just sort of end it there, but then it's like a story with no arc about like asking a new hire about a hair dryer that doesn't exist.
Well, she of course has to add in there that she's so famous that she has to have a new assistant and that she has to have a new place in the city. You know, she has to have all that stuff added in there. Like, it's going to make Dorinda more nervous, you know, and it doesn't. Dorinda's like kind of freaked out that Luann's nervous. She's like, yeah, she's more nervous than me. She can't even make eye contact.
Yeah. At this point, Luann's, her face is just like in a fern. She's like, and so I said, I don't care what brand of hair dryer it is. Just get me the damn thing.
What do you think about that, Alfredo? She's just talking to some busboy now.
Anyone but Dorinda.
So then in her same, you know, fetid tone, she goes, how's Hannah? And she's like, oh my God, Hannah's great. Still spells her name with an H. Oh, your kids are great. I've seen them in magazines. And the man's like, oh yes, you know, my kids and People, Variety, Vanity Fair, Thrifty Nickel, Penny Saver, Trader Joe's Frequent Flyer. I mean, everywhere. They've even named that Times after. It's called the Victorian Times.
They even named a museum after her and someone named Albert. The Victorian Albert Museum. Have you been to it?
And Dorinda's like, hey, right, you know what? We should talk. But another day, not today. Today's all about Sonia. Did you catch a squirting in the thong on that poster? I just don't understand it. But you know what? To each his own.
And Bethany's like, you know what, these people, like, the way they're talking, it's like they never were best friends in the first place. Like, you know what, like, something needs to come here and, like, just break this tension, okay? What's just gonna go on? We just need to break the tension. And then in walks, like, Tinsley and Dale. Dale, you just see Dale has a look on her face like, did somebody say break the tension? I'm here. Okay. What vicious truths should I unearth? Can I do that now?
Hi, it's me, Dale. I think that things are a little tense here. Why don't we talk about the babies that Tinsley's never gonna be able to have? It's so fun to watch her cry.
You know, when you have a beef with another lady, it has so much more resonance when you know you both have children. Am I right, Tinsley?
Has anyone noticed that I'm wearing shoes designed by the woman that found the gave Top a baby?
I like to pretend it's my own grandchild. It almost was, so, I mean, it's just a technicality, really.
Some people call that baby Jennifer. I call her Mr. Mark, Tinsley.
Has anyone noticed that Luann's wearing a hat that looks sort of like a big yacht on her head? It's very thematic.
So let's see. So they're basically like, hey, Ricky, we'll talk. And Luann's like, yes, we'll talk. How are you?
Yeah, it feels fake. I don't know.
So Luann goes back over to Barbara to sit on the top of that booth, wherever they are. And Barbara's like, had it go. She's like, well, she wanted to talk. And I said, not tonight. And you know, it is what it is. It was cordial. I mentioned that I have a new assistant. I'm always going to live on the water. And I have 19 homes now. So hopefully I got my point across.
You know, let me tell you something. You can have 19. You can have 19 homes all in the water, but not a single hairdryer. Right about that one, Alanis Morissette. Well stated.
It's rough to talk about your homes on the water when you're speaking to the Titanic. Am I right, guys?
It's like 10,000 homes on the water, but not a single hairdryer. I'm gonna work that into the cabaret. I think that'll play well.
So then we cut into a conversation with Sonia, Barbara, and Ramona, and Sonia's like, yes, Barbara, this is what I've been saying. You have a fuckable look. You're very fuckable. Tinsley got mad because I said she's not fuckable, but look at her. She's like a doll. Who wants to fuck a doll?
You know, I said, she's the sort of person you dust off and put on a shelf. She's not fuckable. It's not my fault she looks like a porcelain doll.
No one wants to fuck lace, okay? Why are you wearing lace up to your chin? Nobody wants to fuck that. And Barbara's like, all right, I'll be your fuckable friend. And Ramona's like, whoa, is that an invitation? Whoa, it's like to be lesbians.
And Sonia's like, well, you know, I've heard that Barbara goes both ways. I mean, not just because she looks kind of butch. I'm like, wait, Barbara doesn't look butch. Do you know what a butch lesbian looks like?
I don't know. Do they carry around tools?
Quite possibly. But I just don't think Barbara, like, necessarily, just because she has tools and works in construction, she doesn't actually look butch.
I know, but it's so funny that they all say that, because this is the second person to say that, because remember Ramona's like, she's so manly. I don't even understand her. It's like she's got stubble on her face, you know? It's like you're always talking to Bluto 24/7.
So then Sonia and Ramona like call over. Bethany starts coming over. They're like, Bethany! Speaking of fuckable, whoa, it's Bethany. And Tinsley's like, oh, but not me. They're like, no, you're the doll.
And she's like, sitting next to these whole bags, anyone's going to seem ineffable. God!
I think I'm pretty effable. What do you think about that, Tinsley?
So Dorinda's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go now because I'm not drinking. What the hell's the point? All right? We're going to go down the street and drink, so I'm not judged for it, all right? Yeah. See you later.
She's like, you know what? Louie and I, we got a good foundation. We just got to replace the windows. We just got to fix the windows. Unless someone's renting. In that case, broken windows. Broken windows.
And if someone's going to rent our relationship, let's just replace the cabinet.
So then Ramona goes up to Bethany and goes, whoa, Bethany, I didn't even get a chance to say hello to you. I guess I was too busy seeing you from across the room and deciding to talk to other people instead. Whoa. Anyway, I'm leaving early because I have a date. And I know you went through something really bad, almost as bad as me being married to Mario for 19 years and then him leaving me and me finding out about it. Page 6, okay?
I like that she makes it sound like Bethany just went through the stomach flu or something. She's like, I heard you went through something bad. I'm so sorry, Bethany. I'm sorry, okay? Heard it was really bad. And Bethany's like, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Ramona. Yeah. Thanks, Ramona. Yeah, okay. Bye, Ramona. Yeah, okay. Bye, Ramona.
Okay. All right. You can go. So, Luann, you look beautiful. And Luann's like, thank you. So do you. You better not talk about me anymore, you stupid bitch.
I'm going to take off that sexy dress of yours. I'm going to put it on the side of the road and burn it, and you'll be naked. And Ramona takes that as her being sexy. She does that thing where she scrunches her hair with her hand. She goes, ah, yes. I'm like, okay, Ramona. She's thinking she's going to burn you alive outside.
I'll need my swim instructor to come save me.
I was going to say, Bethany is doing her sportscaster thing, and this is the role I like Bethany in, where she's just observing everything, and she's literally treating it like a sport. You know,
Ramona came up to me. Yeah, she came right up to me. Yeah, here comes Ramona, past 10 yards. All right, and then she said, you know, so you went through something bad.
Yeah, she didn't mind me in any conversation. She just kept it moving. You know, and I thought that was a really smart move. That was a smart move for the both of us, all right? All right, good move. All right, good move.
Yeah.
All right, keep it going. Really, this is some of the best moves I've seen ever this season. Like, that one's going on the highlight reel. You know what I was going to say? Boom goes the dynamite.
So then a lady from across the way is like, Sonia, can I come and kiss you? And of course Sonia's like, yeah, sure. So she just comes over and like Sonia's like, I'm sorry we haven't gotten a chance to talk. And someone's like, I want to kiss you in the mouth. And Sonia's like, okay. And they just fully start making out right there. And no one seems to notice except for Tinsley, who's like, what?
She started just like falling all over the place. Tinsley's like falling on the couch over there. And Bethany's like, and then, all right, past 20 yards, this girl comes over like a Venus fucking flytrap. And this woman comes in, snaps her with a tongue, gets her in her mouth, starts crushing her, and singing a finale song about taking over the world. It was like, it was a lesbian hit and run. You know, well done, team. Great job.
Well done.
Good job.
The wing goes, oh, Sonia, how was that?
Sonia's like, I didn't even know that girl, but I saw her at the bar, and she was nuzzling with her friend, and, you know, I didn't know her. She kept looking at me and nodding at me. I thought she just wanted my card.
Yeah, naturally. So now we go over to God's Love We Deliver, which is a charity, like a, you know, feeding people who need help. And so Luann is there with her friend Anne. And whenever Luann does charity, it's always hilarious. So I knew we were in for a special scene here.
Fucking Luann. Well, under the rules of probation, I have to do community service. It's not my first time. I've done it before. All right. Yeah. And then we see a clip of Luann talking to at-risk youth or whatever, you know.
It was just like, you know, or like, I don't know what the proper terminology to say it, but like basically like young girls who probably like I'm assuming they were like, it was like a boys and girls club, whatever, girls who just like want to model or learn how to like get to a better place in life, whatever. So Luann's giving modeling advice and she's like, well, how old are you? Stand up. How old are you? She's like, 10. Oh, you have plenty of time. And don't worry, losing weight is easy. That's the easy part. So hilariously presumptuous.
She's such a fucking monster. So cut back to the kitchen work, and she's pouring soup, and she goes, what kind of soup is that? And he says, garbanzo and barley, and she goes, garbanzo and barley. Okay.
Wow, I mean, it looks a lot better than the bologna sandwich that was thrown in my head, but fine.
So they people give are eating garbanzos these days. Okay, well.
Fine. So they give Luann a ladle, and like she has very simple instructions, which is to plunge the ladle to the bottom, scoop everything up, and as you bring it up, shake the ladle to get some of the stuff out of the ladle to get the soup to come in, and just take one scoopful and put it in like a little plastic thing. So she's like, Luann, of course, is very dramatic about it at first. She goes, well, you know, every time I have to pour some soup into a cup, it's a reminder what my life is going to be like for the next year. Or you're just pouring soup into a cup to help someone who's in need.
So she's doing it, and she's trying to be positive, but she can't do it, you know? And so she's like, whoa, you really have to shake this thing, right? God, well, oh, I spilled some. You didn't see that old man next to me. All right, well, I'm going to double dip. Sorry, I'm doing it, okay, fine. Sue me. What are you going to do, sue me?
She's like sloshing the soup out of the pot. Like she's like not following the technique. She's like sweating. She cannot ladle for the life of her.
She's like, the girls need to help me. Hey, guys. She's trying to get like some housewives humor into the people who are working in the soup line. And they're like totally not getting it at all. She's like, I can't imagine Sonia here. Am I right? And Anne goes, yeah, it would be like Ethel and Lucy, which of course Anne puts Ethel first. Like that's the first time I've ever heard Ethel come first.
That's her right.
You go, Anne.
You go, Anne. Way to, like, she's basically putting herself forward on the cast list here. So, yeah, Luann's like, well, guess what? I was talking to my parole officer, and guess what? I told her I bought a house upstate, and I'm going there on Friday. And she says, you mean, can you go on Friday? I mean, the nerve. Does she even see the amount of ladling I'm doing here? Oops, knocked over the stock pot.
Because you can go to Palm Beach and go back to jail if you want to. I mean, she even asked for my ID and my car registration. Could you imagine?
I mean, listen. You always hear about parole, but you don't actually really know what it means. I mean, I always thought it was a pierogi mixed with a roll. Guess what? It's actually a time when you're out of jail and they monitor you. Can you believe it, girls?
It's like someone getting into your show for free and just ogling you.
Let me tell you about what parole is. 3, 2, 1. Parole with it, baby. Come on, you gotta parole with it, baby. Everyone, Victoria.
Paroling on the river.
That probably would have been a better choice.
I mean, it's like rolling on the river, but with Ike and Ike. You know what I'm saying?
Big little, keep on scooping. Little and keep on talking. Paroling at the cabaret.
Oh my god, it's like Tina and Ike. And she's just like reversing everything.
So then Luann goes, I mean, here's the thing with parole. Now I have to have permission to go away. Now I have to do drug testing, air quote. I mean, I have to be on my best behavior. Who knew that's what parole was all about?
Dorinda looks like a lightweight compared to that lady.
Oh, God. I love Luann understanding the basics of parole now that she's in it. Like, what? I mean, how did she not? What did she think parole was? What did she really think?
I mean, I can't go away for the weekend.
I just love the way she said, we all know, we all have heard of parole, but we don't really know what it is. I'm like, I think we actually all pretty much know what it is. I think a good chunk of us have seen Precious.
she's like, Dorinda's getting a TV thrown at her as she tries to run away.
Like, what did Luann think parole was? Did she just think it was like... Did she get, like, a discount at Subway or something? Well, that's this period of time. It lasts about 8 weeks. You get a discount at Subway and at Pete's Coffee. I'm on parole. It's great.
So she's tasting the soup. She's like, we've got to taste the soup. No one's looking. I mean garbanzo beans.
So she drinks right from the ladle, and it's so disgusting. And then, I mean, that's just so wrong. Aren't these people putting up with enough, like, being needy and needing soup without getting Luann's spittle all over their soup? That is disgusting, ma'am.
Well, like, technically, she sipped from the little plastic container, but A, that means that's an entire soup. And then Anne does it, too, because Anne's just excited to be on TV. So that's, like, two soups that are now wasted, not going to people in need. And also, like, was there not a spoon around? Like, there had to have been a way to do it that was a little bit, like, how about pour, like, a little bit into a big plastic thing and then sip that and throw that away so you don't ruin the entire soup with it?
Luann. I mean, we've all heard of garbanzo soup, but we've never really seen it. You know what I mean?
And I like how Anne is, like, judging the soup. She drinks hers and she goes, low salt. Yummy.
Of course, Anne loves something that's no salt. I was worried this would have too much flavor, but it turns out it's just right. Anne.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial. So we go over to Tinsley's house, which, in other words, her hotel lobby. The lobby of the hotel that she lives in.
It was named after Sheena, by the way. That's totally a Sheena hotel. I'm going to stay at the Mama. Any rooms left at the Mama? Anyone? I want to go to the Mama tomorrow.
So Tinsley comes down with the little dog in the sweater.
The handsome sweater.
Darling.
Making Bambi look very self-possessed.
She's like, do you like my shoes, darling? She's like, those are Tabitha Simmons' shoes, Topper's Wife's Company. I can't believe you.
And Dale's just like, I know that. I take pride in it, too. And guess what? Topper and Tabitha just had the most beautiful baby I've ever seen in my life. Most beautiful one. I mean, I've never seen a baby like that. Of course, my frame of reference is limited. I've only just seen the babies I fantasize coming out of you. So it's nice to see a real baby for once in my life.
It was a little embarrassing when she pulled out a picture of her baby, and I could only pull out a picture of those wrinkled up eggs you had last year that looked like the California raisins dancing around a cereal bowl.
Although at least the California raisins knew how to play a saxophone, am I right?
She's like, and I sent them a present, and Tinsley just keeps going, I'm happy for them. That's great. I'm happy for them. It's fine. She's like, well. Tinsley, you're getting old. And Tinsley's like, my mother thinks that if she doesn't mention, oh, comb your hair, brush your teeth, you know, use your arms to pick things up, that I'm not going to know. Like, I don't know that I'm old and I'm not going to be able to have a baby. It's like, thanks a lot, Mom. You're a genius.
Like, I'm like a grown woman. You don't have to treat me like a little kid. Okay, that's good. Guess what? I'm making a stocking for Dabney. But I wanted a stocking.
It's so true. It's so funny. Fucking Tinsley.
Who is Dabney? Is that her sister or her brother? I don't know. Dabney can go either way. And do
it's
we know who
nephew.
Dabney is?
She's making a stocking for her nephew. And she's like, okay. But I wanted to do one for Scott. And she's like, oh, well, you know, Scott, I think we should just think see how things pan out with that one, you know, Tinsley.
Now, Tinsley, now that I've taken you down a few pegs, let me really go deep with this and take Bambi down a few pegs. Okay, well, let's take off that self-possessed turtleneck. There we go. Striped of his power. There, Bambi. Now you're just Bambi.
Well, they've mentioned that Dale is close with Scott. You know, Scott takes him on his boat and everything else. And Dale is just so sad about Scott. And she just keeps giving her this look like, now, Tinsley, are we going to talk about Scott, really? And Tinsley's like, what do you mean, Mom? I was just in Chicago. We're good. Everything's good. And her mom just shakes her head and, like, looks like she's crying. It's like her daughter's on trial for murder. You know, when the parents are like, I'm going to be supportive, but not proud.
Yeah. So now we go over, speaking of supportive but not proud, we go over to Sonia's townhouse where she's back. Some renters have just left, and so she's like, I'm gonna do the smell test. Okay, smells like mold, old condoms, rotting cheese. Perfect, just like always.
So her renters are gone now, so she has to get this apartment, you know, fixed up for the next renter. And there's a leak that went all over her curtains. And it's like coming out of an electrical socket. I mean, it's very disturbing, everything happening in here.
I'm going to pat myself on the back for this one, because on the latest episode of Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, it took place in basically my version of Sonia's townhouse. And I had a very prominent leak that I spent a long time animating. So it would be a recurring drip from the ceiling to the floor, never realizing that we would actually have a leak storyline like a week later. So
whoa,
I'm like,
there you go.
I'm just like giving myself a huge pat on the back for being able to see that one out. Of course, I think we all could imagine that storyline was going to come at some point. I mean, where do you go from brown ice?
Brown water fire.
That's true.
Mold. You know, a soup kitchen. Your house has been turned into a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Or cracked in.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's leaked all over the place. And she goes, oh, I had a leak. It stemmed from the roof, Scott, the sky roof, because I wasn't there to caulk the sky roof. I guess no one else is going to think to caulk the sky roof. Yeah, Sonia. No one's going to think in a place they're paying $32,000 a month in that they're going to have to caulk the sky roof.
No one expected that they would have a corner of their house that was specifically very fetid like a marsh. Fetid callback.
So Dorinda comes over to help her clear out the basement. And Dorinda's like, a leak left in leak. And she's like, well, I've never had a leak before, and it's still leaking. Look, I said, Sonia, you just told us that you have a leak unless you caulk the roof, okay?
Yeah.
So Dorinda's like, well, Sonia, you know, when she's in a new place, she has this light that shines from her. She's so happy. But she had this important paranormal plague. It takes over. I mean, look at her.
Look, she's just like covered in like wet, dark water that looks like mold. You know, she's like an actual fetid ghost.
So Dorinda tells her that she'll get her curtains cleaned with John. She's like, I know, okay. She goes, you know, these ladies say a lot of mean things about John until it comes to dry cleaning. When it comes to dry cleaning, he's a hero, all right? Everybody loves him when it comes to dry cleaning, all right?
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, listen, sometimes you just have to have that one thing, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's like having a big dick, having a lot of money, or just like giving people discounts on dry cleaning. You just need that one hook.
Yeah, like me, I can roll my stomach.
I can pontificate. I think that's a big turn on to people.
You said fetid, so.
I said fetid, you know? I know the difference between fetid and fetid.
Yep.
Although now we all do.
Yeah. You see, we teach people. Also, we're educators, so.
Yeah. There's that. If nothing else, Watcher Crappens is a place to learn. You know, like, for instance, you learn about Sonia's basement, which is where they had to then take, I guess, did they bring the sheets down there or they brought something up from there? Either way, Sonia brought Dorinda down into that creepy ass basement. And, you know, I'm surprised Dorinda even emerged from it. I was like, okay, this is where Dorinda, this is the last we see of Dorinda. She's in the famous basement where we last saw Pickles.
And you know that Dorinda would love that basement too. Like, oh my God. A jar of mayonnaise from 1983. That's something, Sonia.
That's something, Sonia.
You know, it's good to remember the past, you know? It's good to remember things like this is what Mayo looked like in 1983. I like that.
So they're like wacky and they can't get the stuff up because it's too heavy. And Sonia's like, I brought my straightest gay to lift this.
Which should really be insulting, but I actually totally get it. And also, this is when Dorinda first mentions to us that she wants to move apartments. She found a new apartment that she really loves in Sutton Place, which I like because it's sort of like London, you know, because it's a tall building and people speak English in it. So I like that a lot.
So funny. You say, is it raining outside? And you stick your head out the window and you hit your head on the window of pain. And you say, was there a window there before?
Yeah, you know what I like about it? It really reminds me of London because, you know, there's you can enter the certain place through the doorway, or you can take an umbrella to the third floor.
So then we go over to Ramona dating.
Whoa. Oh, guess my God. What? My tits are out and I'm ready to have a hot date, okay?
It's like someone put hair removal in John Waters' shampoo. And now he has no hair, and his skin is totally pale.
Oh, my God. This guy, Mark. This guy's Mark is, like, exactly what people think, like, every New York male is like, you know. Then they may not really be too wrong, you know.
Just, like, basement. Just no sunlight at all, ever, you know.
Just like a... Like a spurned character from Seinfeld, you know. Yeah. He's pale and he's sort of like hunched over, and so he greets Ramona, and they do like the double kiss thing, and then he goes, "Ah, you knew the double cheek. You know, I spent 2 years in Paris. That's how I know about the double cheek thing." I was like, "Okay, you know what? Like, let's like cool it on the Paris bragging right out the gate."
Oh, he's not going to. No. He's like, and there, if you really like someone, it's three kisses. And she's like, what? Or four?
Well, there? I haven't heard four kisses before, you know. And I know, because I lived in Paris for 2 years.
And Ramona tells us, you know, I'm Ramona, okay? I may look 26, but I'm not. And I don't have time to do this swipe thing, okay? I don't even know which way to swipe, okay? So I got this girl, Rory, to just do it for me, right?
How much you want to bet that the reason why Ramona gave up Tinder is because she swiped the wrong direction? She'd always swipe up or down. And so she's like, whoa, every single time I try to swipe on someone, I just find out who texted me last. Like, I don't want to date my text.
No, I don't want to lock my phone. Why do you keep asking me?
Every time I like someone, it's like it wants me to turn the volume down. It's like, why? Does that mean like turn the volume down? Okay, I'll turn the volume down on this man.
I just want to date. Why do I got to turn on a flashlight? Whoa.
Every time I want to say yes, I get a headline about Vladimir Putin, okay?
So she goes, Rory, show me a photo of Mark. Let's face it. He's not Red Scarf guy, but he's successful and worldly.
My mother always said, make sure you get your own woolly man, because you don't want to be relying on someone else's wooliness, okay?
So she's like, where are you from? And he's like, well, where I was conceived is more interesting. Want to hear about that? And she's like, oh. She's like, are you German? And he goes, let's order some wine, shall we? All right. She goes, I think let's do a bottle. And he's like, all right. Well, how about we do this place? Because I like the soccer team there. And she's like, you did it because you like the soccer team?
Sounds like someone that'd be better suited for Sonia.
Oh, yeah, I love that soccer team. I mean, I blew all of them. They were great.
I invested in a wonderful movie they were going to do. That wasn't the best idea, but...
It was not a very good movie. It was called Sense and Suckability.
Suck and Suckability.
You know, it didn't get a widespread release, but it got a widespread of something else.
But it definitely got a release, I'll tell you that much.
You know? It played well in Guam.
The best part of that film was the audition period.
It was a great film, and honestly, I really stand behind my decision to cast the Leonard Nimoy's nephew in it.
So this guy's like, well, I speak French and German because I lived in Paris for 2 years. I might have mentioned that. Do you speak anything? Which, what a way to phrase that question. And Ramona goes, I only speak English. I don't even do that very well.
Whoa, that's crazy. That reminds me of this one time, this little girl. I was like, oh, I want to learn every language in the world and go to the United Nations and be like, hear ye, all the nations come together. Toutes les nations come together. Beaucoup de nations come together. And then Geraldine Parsons Smith said, hey, little girl, stop trying to talk in different languages. You're just doing bad French, and no one needs to hear that. Since that day, I've actually never been able to speak before in my life. Everything you're hearing is just coming from inside my head, okay?
Now, here's things, three things I look for in a man, okay? One, a man who's never been married. And the guy's like, well, I haven't been married, but I've almost been married 18 times. He's like, whoa, red flag. Number two, a man who likes being social. And he's like, so I bought this place in the woods, 16 acres. I can't even see my neighbors. When I kill somebody, no one can even hear me. She's like, and number three, strong morals.
He's like, it's unnatural to be monogamous. I mean, you know, like from a species point of view, you know, like, oh, you look at all the species of the world. And everyone's like, whoa. But we're not animals. I'm like, have you seen your show?
You're animals, okay. But yeah. This guy's such a douchebag. He's like, you know, look at species. She's like, the film? No, you know, just animals. Oh. Particularly Paris, where I lived for 2 years. You know, she's like, but we're not animals, okay? I'm very sexual, but I was monogamous, so I don't agree. And he's like, I'll give you some animal stories. She's like, you know what? You do what works for you, okay? How about that? And Ramona is mad. She gets that furious. Her eyes, like, totally cloud over, and they're black now. You know? It's like she's
they're the totally alien turned part. Black. Speaking of Species, like, this is what's happened. That, if everyone wants to know whatever happened to that girl from Species, whatever, like, she broke out of that tank, she terrorized Los Angeles or wherever, disappeared, and now she's Ramona. So, hey, can I give you my philosophy on marriage? She's like, no. He goes, I'll say it anyway. You know what? Divorce rate's 50-50. But in my mind, it's actually more like 90% 10. Because, you know, there's children involved. And people, you know, they stay in it for the children. And then they lose their love. So now you're down to 10%. She's like, whoa, this is crazy. Whatever. Okay, fine. You know what? I'm sorry. You're boring me right now. Okay?
When she says no and he's like, I'll tell you anyway. She goes, la, la, la. She doesn't want to hear it. And then while he's talking, she's like squinting through her black eyes. And then she's just waving her hand like there's a fly there. I mean, it's so fucking funny. And he just keeps talking and talking. She goes, you know what? I don't know. You march to the beat of your own drum. I'll give you that much.
Well, actually, you're correct. Because I did once become friends with someone who was a drummer when I lived in Paris for 2 years.
Fucking only Ramona could say you march to the beat of your own drummer like it's a terrible thing. It's like, gross. Who does that?
So now we go over to Little Italy. It's daytime, and Bethany has arranged a lunch in Little Italy to sort of bring together Dorinda and Luann, and Barbara's going to be there too. And Bethany shows up in this crazy gray pantsuit with, as Dorinda said, a rhinestone bow tie. I mean, she was just like some strange, like, it looked like something from one of Madonna's strange, like, recent fashion periods, you know, like that time when she showed up to the Grammys looking like Colonel Sanders. Like, this felt like one of those, like, Madonna missteps, but it wound up on Bethany instead.
Yeah. It was pretty ugly. And Bethany's like, all right, come over here. Come over here, Alfredo. All right, here's what I want. I want gluten, angel hair, all right, gluten-free. It's got to have no gluten in it, okay? I want olive oil, not butter, all right? Then I want bread without gluten. Then I want spinach. I don't want spinach in the spinach, all right? I want beets, right?
Yeah, give me some of that beet spinach, okay?
You know, Bethany's one of those people that every waiter is like, oh, God, here she comes.
And a lot of feta, okay? A lot of feta.
So, hey, you got any comment cards? I want to leave some comments, right? Where should I do that? All right, take these comments down. All right, write them in the card for me.
So Dorinda shows up in, like, another Adidas shirt with, like, her shoulders showing, and she's got, like, pink in her hair. And she's like, yeah, I was hoping to be gangsta. And for a while, I was like, oh, my God, like, I thought she was meaning like she's trying to be like gangsta, because there was that moment last year when, I think it was last year, when Luann was like, oh, we're going to try to like do like a gangster rap, right, at the cabaret. And they're like, no. So I was like, oh, gosh, every time these women say gangster, I cringe. But in this case, she actually meant like a mob wife, which made a little bit more sense, but still didn't totally make any sense.
Well, yeah, because they were in Little Italy. So Bethany was like, all right, we're going to have a gangster sit down. So that's what she tells them. So they're all supposed to come dressed gangster, which to Dorinda means Adidas.
Right.
Is Dorinda being paid by Adidas? Because this is weird that she's always wearing Adidas stuff. Like, what's that about?
I don't know. I'm going to ask my friend who works there and be like, is Dorinda your new mascot? Because this is an odd choice and I support it.
Yeah. I love that you're branching out, you know, to society ladies in New York City.
Yeah, exactly. So Bethany, her whole goal for this launch is she just wants them to sort of like to cop up to what they did. She wants Luann to be like, you know what? I said that thing about, oh, she's turning and I shouldn't have said it. Although personally me, I don't think that was such a bad thing to say. And then she wants Luann to be like, you know what? I did heckle you. Okay, I did. That's all that Bethany wants. But we all know none of that's going to happen. So instead, Luann shows up. She sees Dorinda's like pink highlight things going on and she goes, pink hair. Ha! you dressed gangster. I got it. I'm like, she doesn't get it at all. She has no idea what's happening.
Yeah, because Dorinda's like, she's like, oh, I get it. Oh, the pink hair is for gangster. You went all out, didn't you? And Bethany's like, didn't look good. Didn't look good. Look, pink hair. Didn't it look good? And she goes, oh, and pink lipstick.
And then she just smiles and stares, which is like, she says it sort of in a nice way, as in like, oh, that looks great. But she doesn't actually say it looks good. She just stares like penetratingly.
Yeah, she gives her, how are you? Look, she's like,
she does. Lipstick. You're not going to get me to say on camera that pink hair and pink lipstick look good together. I mean, why would a cabaret star go to that level?
So Dorinda's like, so how's your new house doing? You're getting a new house? And Bethany's like, you like it better? And Lou's like, I do. It's round. And Dorinda goes, a round house. You know why they do that, right? The devil will never come in there, you know? That's why they do that. Because the devil gets you in the corner.
That's what they do. Point, counterpoint. Actually, well, they say it's very good feng shui to live in a round house. You know, animals live in round things. They live in trees. And, you know, Indians live in teepees. And Eskimos, they live in igloos. And, I mean, I don't know. Who else? Chinese people, they live in circle things, don't they?
Cheese lives in the moon. I mean, round things. Am I right, guys?
Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly, cabaret singers gotta perform in the round.
And Dorinda's like, yeah, you know why? Because predators can't get you. You know why? Because predators get you in corners like the devil. And Bethany's like, wow. God.
Bethany says, probably the funniest thing that she said in a few seasons, she goes, these two bitches are whack jobs. She just like stuck in this conversation. Also, let's like not overlook like the problematic juxtaposition of saying, well, you know, animals live in round things, they live in trees, and Indians live in teepees. It's like, wait a second, can we not put like that like right next to each other?
Yeah, fucking Luann.
They go from animals to Indians.
A round house.
And you're not even using the prop terminology, Luann, who is famously Native American.
Yeah. Oh, Luann. So yeah. Bethany's like, these two bitches are whack jobs. When I look for real estate, I don't even consider whether or not the devil is coming. All right? Like, who thinks that? Like, oh my God, I have corners. The devil's coming to my house. So then Barbara shows up. She's like, hi. She's
speaking of the devil. Fucking...
She's wearing a fedora. She goes, I thought it was a gangsta brunch. I mean, Lou's dressed like itself. Look, going to jail one night doesn't make a gangster, all right?
Hey, I think it's pretty gangster in here. We're sitting in a square courtyard, so you know, the devil's everywhere.
Bethany's like, I hope you don't mind. I ordered ahead, all right? You could all do without some gluten, all right?
Well, actually, no, the funny part is that before she says that she ordered ahead, the food starts to arrive, and Luann, with, of course, like classic Luann entitlement, goes, oh, wow, I love it when they just bring you food. You don't even have to order. Luann just assumes the food is coming for her, which I think is amazing.
She's looking at the bar to see who's sending her an entire meal.
Oh, they know my music. Oh, they're just sending over my food. That's so nice of them. And it's like, oh, no, I ordered for you guys. I ordered.
So listen, we all know why we're here. Luann, I love you. I hope we can work this out. I thought we were on a good path. Listen, I care for you. And if we can't be friends right now, I mean, I have peace. And I want you to know I love you. You know the old saying, I can't wish you luck, but I wish you well.
Which I've never heard that saying. It doesn't sound like a nice saying either.
What does that even mean? It doesn't sound nice.
That's not nice. I don't even know. I don't understand. Why can't you wish her luck and well? Like, why is it one or the other? Seems pretty rude. I think she'd want me to have some luck now that I live in a silo.
You know what they say. 12 in the bush means one in the hand. Your music is terrible. You know the whole thing.
You can't have your cake and stick your face in it too with candles in it.
It's like, well, Dorinda, I don't know what you're talking about, but of course I wish you well, too. And I don't want to keep this whole thing going. I mean, I don't want you to be uncomfortable. Oh, I don't want to be uncomfortable. We see each other a lot. We have the same friends. We live in the same neighborhoods. One of us is a celebrity. One of us is a normal person who has to pay for seats. You know how it goes.
Yeah. You know.
One of us lives in roundhouses because the devil is chasing us. One lives in roundhouses because they understand Native Americanism. All right, that's all I'm saying.
You know, it's funny. I always heard about the concept of a roundhouse, but I didn't really know what that was. I mean, a building that's round doesn't make sense, but now I get it.
Soup lives in round containers. Just remembered that one.
I basically live in an overturned ladle.
So Bethany goes, all right, well, am I allowed to say something without you guys getting mad? Because, like, what am I even here for? Like, am I even supposed to say something? No one ever lets me say anything. They just get mad whenever I say anything. All right, look, here's what I'm going to say. There's no perfect relationship. All right, look, like for example, like, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, all right? They're not, like, happy all the time.
The way I get so mad, she's like, well, British aristocracy, all right? We're not comparing ourselves.
There's no need to bring Dorinda up to that level.
Maybe a Fergie and a bottle of ketchup, all right?
And I mean both Fergies. Hideous. So, I mean, we were good after Cartagena, and then the cabaret show happened, and it was awful.
Yeah, and Dorinda's like, baby, baby, yeah, you can't, well, yeah, you know, and then what you did at my cabaret show, she goes, well, to be clear, I was with someone for 7 years. She goes, oh, listen, we're not going to go on with a John story.
Like, I mean, so what? I invited everyone, including the carpenter who I just met earlier in the day and the Uber driver, and not John. What's the big deal?
Listen, I couldn't have the wet cleaner and the dry cleaner at the same event.
So Bethany's like, okay, you know what, Dorinda, just own that you did heckle Giovanni. Okay, you did say the Giovanni thing. And Dorinda's like, I didn't heckle Giovanni. I didn't. Which is like, come on, Dorinda, you have to admit that. But at the same time, by the way, Luann, you have to also fess up that what you did, that the John thing was shady too. Like, you have to admit that too. Like, they both are at fault here.
Yeah, all Luann really has to say is, I'm sorry I didn't invite John. I didn't think I was going to have enough seats. And, you know, I didn't thank you properly for taking me to Giovanni, getting me my entire wardrobe for free, basically. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, Luann has had to learn that lesson 50 times in this show. She had the same problem with Radzivill. And yeah. She never forgot that. You know, she hated Carol until the very end over a fight that started with just not saying thank you and trying to get free shit from Carol's friends who designed a dress for Michelle Obama.
Yeah, exactly. So, meanwhile, the latest plague to hit Bravo is the mispronunciation of texts. Because Dorinda goes, you know, I got all these texts afterwards. Great to see you. I sent you my prayer. I thought we were passing, moving forward. I was like, okay, so now we have, like, half the cast of New Jersey saying Texas. We have Ken and Lisa and Dorit saying Texas on Beverly Hills. And now we got Dorinda saying Texas.
And this is going to be what happens with Champ. You know, everyone says Champs because that's how they say it on Bravo now ever since stupid Heather said Champs.
Yeah.
It's always been Champers, okay? I don't know where you people are suddenly getting Champs, but now everybody says, let's have some Champs. And it makes me crazy. I'm not saying Champs and I'm not saying Texas, okay?
It's also like agreeance. It's like, remember, what's his face? Fred Durst said agreeance on like an award show back in 2002 and everyone made fun of him. They're like, agreeance isn't a word, even though it's like, it is like an obscure version of like agreement, like we're all in agreement, but he said agreeance, and ever since then people are like, well, I think we're all in agreeance over that. I'm like, stop following Fred Durst's lead.
Or screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, ain't gonna do it again. I mean, guys, come on.
So the
editors, of course, the directors, of course, cut directly to a clip of Giovanni, Giovanni, which was cracking me up. And Dorinda's like, listen, all right, you just can't. Sometimes everything in life has a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? You just can't beat up a dead horse all the time. And Barbara's like, you know, Dorinda's problem, she just can't admit she's wrong. She has an excuse for everything. Didn't they already use this clip of Barbara?
What? What do you mean?
When she's like, you know, Dorinda's problem, she just can't admit what she's wrong. She has an excuse for everything. I think they use that exact same clip of Barbara. They're just like copy and pasting clips of Barbara.
But it's now, like a totally appropriate thing to insert there. You know, yeah, like when in doubt, just cut to Barbara saying, you know what Dorinda's problem is? She just can't say I'm sorry. Just like any time. Like, hey, Tinsley, why haven't you had a baby yet? You know what Dorinda's problem is? She just can't say I'm sorry.
Dorinda,
like, yeah.
When Dorinda goes, I didn't heckle Giovanni. The man goes, what? I mean, what? Not even like a, sorry, maybe I did heckle Giovanni. Maybe I did. Whoops, I mean something.
Yeah. And then, so then Dorinda, she's like, listen, I just, you know, I want to congratulate you. You know, you, your cabaret is doing great. I'm so happy for your success. And you got your new home that's in, like, maybe a nuclear reactor or something, this circle place. I don't know.
Congratulations,
you got it.
On
it's
your
great.
Green silo that you live in.
Yeah, congratulations on the overturned Ferris wheel you're living in. That's great news, you know. And Luann, of course, she doesn't say thank you. She's just like, well, I know. Exactly. I'm moving on to starting a new chapter.
And Bethany's like, yeah, maybe, you know, she can be in a new chapter. And Dorinda goes, well, maybe not, Bethany. Maybe not, okay? Because that's what life is. You know, up, down, around, in the middle. You know what I mean? Sometimes the horse is on the side of the road. Stop kicking the horse, Bethany. And Bethany's like, yeah, Ramona may be the apologizer, but Dorinda is the denier, okay?
Yeah. But the best part about that was that when Bethany said, like, well, you know, maybe you can be in a chapter together. And when Dorinda, like, clapped back at Bethany, Bethany just, like, she just buried her face in her plate. She's like, okay, these are crazy, crazy bitches. Like, she didn't get mad. She didn't make a wreck. She just, like, dropped her head and was like, oh, God, these crazy
Jesus
bitches.
Christ. What can
I? Jesus. Now I know what they went through last season with me and Carol.
And Luann's like, oh, let's call a truce, okay? We can be fine. We thought we were fine. I was willing to come to the clam bake. Like, oh, my God. Barbara, here, like, we go again. Talking about beating a dead horse, okay? You're beating a dead clam. And Bethany goes, all right, just cheers to a truce. Cheers to a truce. And Luann goes, truce. Let's put our guns down. She goes, you're getting a hug. You're about to get a hug from me.
You know what's a perfect circle? My arms around your body. Here we go. Nice big hug.
And then they kiss. And Barbara's like, ah, a kiss. And she's like, you know, that wasn't a kiss of death. It was a kiss of meh. I mean, I really didn't feel any apology in that kiss, but meh.
I mean, when you're in Little Italy, you know, you just sort of say that. You know, the funny thing is, you always hear about Little Italy, but you don't actually know what it is. Turns out it's not an actual miniature-sized version of the country. It's just a few blocks. Who knew?
So Dorinda is at home doing my favorite Dorinda thing, walking around the house talking to herself. She's like, yeah. Hey, look, I got tons of little buddies from a restaurant I took them from, and I put them in a little bowl. They're going to pull a little buddies. Like, who does that?
She's got her bowl of diner butters. And then this real estate agent comes by named Lori. Lori, poor Lori. She, like, went to the Donald Trump tanning bed. I don't know what happened, but, like, her face was – I don't know if – She went hard. She went hard in the orange.
Lori. She's like, hey, it's me, Lori. And Lori's like, you look like you did 20 years ago. Now you're supposed to tell me that. And Dorinda's like, ain't you cute?
Delicious.
Lori's a true New Yorker and a bit of a brad.
She sold me my place in 2001, and she'll tell you stories that'll knock your socks off. Hey, Lori, tell the story, Lori. Lori's like, I'll tell you a story.
Oh, yeah.
I took the stairs one time. I almost burnt down this entire city. Have you gained weight? What are you?
I'll tell you a story. I went to the beauty parlor, and I said, you know what? I want a new hairstyle. Give me the Madeleine Albright, but make it big. Make it big.
So I'll tell you a story. One time I dated the guy who ran the Crayola factory, and he said, you're so beautiful, I'm laying a crayon after you. And then comes burnt sienna. It's like, there she is. This is Lori I know.
I'll tell you a story. One day I was walking by a construction site, and a construction worker grabbed me by the face. I thought he was going to try to kiss me. No, he tried to put me in the wall. He thought I was a brick. Who knew?
One time I walked past a construction site, they whistled at me and started sanding me down. Not even kidding.
One time, you know, the best part is that every time I try to walk across the street, all the cars stop for me. I always thought it was because of my beauty. Turns out they thought I was a red light.
I was always my grandson's favorite, and it wasn't until he started talking that everyone realized he thinks that I'm Woody from Toy Story the whole time. I mean, kids. You're the mouse of babes, huh?
I can never go to Florida. When I go to Florida, they just try to pick me. I'm like, I'm not an orange, okay? Can't make
you've never out. Lived until someone's tried to squeeze you into a glass.
So anyway, so Dorinda gives Lori like a little side hug, and Lori's like, ooh, I love how Zaftig you are. I like that. Dorinda's like, what does Zaftig mean? He's like, you know, it means, Lori's like, you know, it means like when someone puts their arm around you, it feels nice. It doesn't feel bony. I'm like, she's calling you fat.
Yeah.
Zaftig like, means plump and heavy. Okay. like full figure, you know. That's what that means.
And Dorinda's like, you know, you may sound mean, but it's not mean. It's endearing.
So they start talking about renting out her place. And she's going to try and sell it. But if she can't sell it, she's going to rent it. And she can get $8,000 a month for that place, which is fucking insane. Yeah. My God, New York. Jeez, yeah, how does anybody live in New York? What do you guys do for a living?
Seriously, New Yorkers, you got to, like, fix that. That's crazy. That's crazy.
God. And she's like, you know, maybe I'll keep it. Maybe Anna's gonna have a baby.
So basically, we go over to
So now we go over to the Mondrian, where Sonia's on the rooftop, and Tinsley and Dale join her, and they're all just chatting away. It's sort of like a really fun trio, and Sonia's like, "Oh, look. My daughter made my ex-husband cry because guess what? She made cum laude." Like, and Tim's like, "I think it's cum laude." She's like, "Oh, I thought it was cum laude." And they're like, "Oh, cum laude, laude, cum laude." Dale was saying that. Cum laude, cum laude.
And Tinsley's just mortified. And so Sonia's like, "Cum laude, Tinsley. You know what, Tinsley? Let's talk about Tinsley. Tinsley, you undervalue yourself, doesn't she, Dale? I'm always telling her, you undervalue yourself. You're like dollar store prices, but you know, you're like a $5 tree, you know? And
you're more like a Big Lots. You treat yourself like a 99 cent store, but you're a Big Lots by now."
Yeah. She's like, "You treat yourself like a Ross, but you're a Marshalls." And Tinsley's like, "Well, Tinsley's like, one week she said I'm ineffable, and the next week she says I undervalue myself. Oh, with friends like these who need to put their dogs in sweaters."
And Dale's like, "Tinsley, Sonia's right. You do undervalue yourself. You're strong. You can do things yourself," which is my way of saying you're making your own damn stocking this year.
And Sonia's like, "You know, this Scott thing. I mean, you shouldn't be chasing Scott. He should be chasing you." Dale's like, "Yeah, Scott's a great guy, but I'd prefer him to be a son-in-law instead of just some guy." And Sonia's like, "There are 500 guys just ready for you." And Dale goes, "Are there?"
You know, here's the thing. This is going on too long, because when you're her age, her ripe old age of 43, talk about gathering dust, am I right? And his age, I mean, 6 months is enough to know, right? Like, get on with it, Tinsley.
Tinsley's that dollar that's been left in a Bible for 19 years. You touch it and it just falls apart, all right? You don't find that Bible and that dollar and start touching it. You buy something immediately. That's what I'm just trying to tell Tinsley.
Tinge is like that clover you put in your dictionary. You're like, I'm going to put this in here, and you forget about it. And then 10 years later, you open up your dictionary and find that clover and say, what a beautiful four-leaf clover. I'm so glad it's so well-preserved. But in the back of your mind, you know, it's just old.
And
old
that's clover. Why she's not going to give Scott any more time. She's breaking up with him right now, today. I'm FaceTiming him now. It's like, Mama, stop!
I'm actually really loving this version of Tinsley, who's just beleaguered by the old coots on this show. You know, she's like, oh, what I have to do for fame.
It is hilarious. I mean, in every scene she's showing up and people are just like pelting her.
Yeah, and she's like the most beautiful, the most well-dressed out of all of them. And she is the one who's just getting shat upon. Like, she's the one who's being viewed as like the most pathetic, like the saddest.
I know. I mean,
it's amazing.
Poor thing, but it's really hilarious, you know. And Sonny's like, oh, Tinsley's up to her same old tricks. You meet a guy, you get codependent with him, you let him treat you badly so you can get some shoes and a handbag. Empty promises, die alone. I was like, Sonia, hello.
Have you seen your townhouse?
You're living in your daughter's apartment, ma'am. Okay. That's like, it got so sad that you had to move in with your daughter. Come on.
Sonia's like, you know what? Like, I have too many guys that are coming for me right now. Here's what I want. I want a guy who has his own friends, who can take care of himself, because you know what? I can take care of a guy myself. And then just cuts to commercial. They're like, okay, enough with this bitch. Let's just go to commercial.
Yeah, so as she says it, she's putting the butter in her purse like Dorinda.
Yeah.
She's like stealing the glasses and the silverware. She's like, do you mind if I take home this umbrella?
So then we go back to Dorinda's house, and Barbara shows up. You know, the problem with Dorinda is that she just can't say I'm sorry. Am I right?
She's like, knock, knock, knock. Hi, I'm here to tell you the problem with Dorinda.
So Dorinda is, you know, Dorinda's starting every scene as positively as she can. And I get what she's trying to do. And I love positive Dorinda. I love negative Dorinda, too.
I love all
versions of Dorinda. But, like, really, she's making this so hard on herself. All she has to do is say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Let's get over it, you know?
Like, yeah. Like, you can say you're wrong about it. It's, like, such a small thing. It's, like, not going to be the end of the world. Just say I'm sorry, please. Please.
But, God, it makes for some fun scenes. Because she starts everyone so desperate. She's like, yes, she is. She looks gorgeous. Barbara, look at you, Barbara. Baby, you look amazing. Barbara, look. Catch this in your mouth. Oh, my God, she got a tomato in her mouth. God, I love Barbara. Team Barbara. I'm having a parade. It's called the Barbara Parade. It's like, okay, calm down over there.
Yeah. So, basically, Dorinda wants advice because... since she wants to rent out her apartment, she wants to, like, renovate it, especially the kitchen. And she's like, I gotta redo the floors. And Barbara's like, oh, yeah, definitely. The floors are atrocious. Ugh, can't believe we're even stepping on these things. Ugh, I feel like a worse person for being here just to step on your floors right now.
Ugh. And what about those lights? You're gonna do something about those lights? Those are terrible. And they show the lighting, like, and there's wires
hanging out. Empty sockets and dangling things. Dorinda's like, oh, no, not for renting.
Yeah, this is fine.
If you're paying $8,000 a month, you don't deserve lighting.
And she goes, what about the countertop? She's like, no, he's fine. You can't say it's fine. Maybe we face the cabinet. She goes, I would just rip out the whole kitchen. She's like, that's $100,000.
Barbara's like, not if you have the right contractor. At which point a giant, like, pepper mill falls from the ceiling and nearly hits them. You gotta watch out for that pepper mill. It'll attack you whenever you're not looking.
So Barbara's like, I was taken aback by Dorinda's house. I mean, I was expecting something a lot more refined.
Like, you were? Why? I was expecting, like, a pile of yarn. You know, and, like, some newspaper clippings.
Yeah, it looks exactly the way I would expect a Dorinda apartment to be. I mean, it's not a knock on her. I just don't see her having a refined apartment. I just see her having, like, a very normal, like, everyman apartment.
Yeah. And so Dorinda's like, so,
yeah, thank you. I'm glad you came over here to talk about doing it. So, what about the lunch? What do you think about the lunch? I did a good job, right? I did a good job, right?
So Barbara is a little bit of a shit stirrer here because everything is more or less fine. But Barbara's like, well, you know, I was talking to Lou, and she was surprised that you wouldn't even budge on an apology. And it's like I always say,
The problem with you is that you never can say I'm sorry.
And Dorinda's like, you know what? She's stuck. The poor girl. I feel sorry for her. And then she gets up to move around and keep herself busy because she's getting so pissed. She's like, she needs help with that. She's shallow boxing. She's victimizing herself and villainizing me. And, you know, at some point, you just got to go, doctor, give me the news, right? I get a bad taste of having a bad attitude. Yeah, I'm going to go in here and just move some light bulbs around. She's in the other room, like, punching pillows and shit.
Yeah, and then so Barbara's trying to explain, and Dorinda's like, Barbara, you know, you gotta be careful, okay? You ask the other girls, you started to drink the Kool-Aid, which is mean because Barbara does sort of look like she might come busting through a wall at our construction site.
It's like, that's not great to bring my job into it.
No, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm just drinking champagne.
Hey, stop trying to road test your housewife tagline on me, okay?
So Dorinda tells us, this person has drunk so much Kool-Aid, she has type 2 diabetes.
It's really a specific and accurate thing to say.
Fucking
so
Dorinda.
Barbara's like, well, you know, Luann heard that, you know, that you went to lunch and were waving around papers from the lawsuit and everything.
I did not do that. That is a lie. I did not do that. And then it cuts to a clip of her waving around her cell phone with papers on it.
Yeah, she's like, 18 pages right here. I mean, like, so technically it was on a cell phone, not actual pieces of paper. But then what's even worse is that Dorinda's like, I didn't bring those. Sonia did. That was all Sonia Morgan.
Yeah, she's like, it's all a lawsuit. It was filed. What are you going to do? It was filed. And she goes, well, if Dorinda was her real friend, she would have shut that conversation down. And Dorinda's like, just talk to Sonia. Well, here's what I think. I think that you're involved in a lot of things. You know, you're waving around papers. You're not supporting other women.
Talk to Sonia. Oh, God damn it. We're sitting in the corner, aren't we? Damn it. Non-roundhouses.
You know the problem with Dorinda. She doesn't ever take responsibility for anything. And if I'm drinking Kool-Aid, she's sniffing glue. All right, honey?
So Barbara's like, it's not supportive of other women, and I don't like it.
I agree, and you should talk to Sonia. Talk to Sonia.
And then, so Dorinda's like trying desperately to stay cool, but Barbara keeps on pushing it. She's like, she expects an apology.
Listen, I don't need you or Bethany involved in my relationship, okay? I've been friends with this girl for 13 years. I've been ride or die. I was there when no one else was around. I had her on a special ring, okay? Everyone else was on meow, meow, but she was on woof, 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 okay?
I was at her wedding. And Barbara goes, I know, I was there. She goes, yeah, well, I was there. She has my prayer cards. Right?
I prayed to her.
I lit candles with her. This is gonna end, Barbara. It's gonna end, right? I can't take it. And you can go if you're gonna come here and aggravate me. You know, I can't have it. Prayer cards.
Barbara's like, and you can take your renovation and do it yourself.
And you can stay home then.
So congratulations, Dorinda. You just cost yourself about $40,000 more.
Oh my God, what an episode.
Hilarious. Hilarious as usual.
Oh, so fun. All right, well, that brings us to the end of today. We will be back tomorrow with Summer House. Go get your tickets for Phoenix and Portland, which are coming up next week. And also for Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, which are coming up very soon, okay?
Well, we also have Irvine, too, by the way. For Southern California people, we've got Irvine coming up. We also have Milwaukee people in the Chicago area. We will be in Milwaukee. Plenty of options for everyone.
Yeah, everybody do it, okay?
Bye, Kyle!
Get those shirts over at Watch What Crappens. We love you guys.
Bye. Bye.